Email todayradio@rte.ie.
Now, the recently negotiated programme for government, if passed, will have many different impacts on farming in this country. So, for their thoughts on everything from emissions reductions to the carbon tax to badger culling, I'm joined by Brian Rush, dairy farmer and deputy president of the IFA, and by John Liston, an organic dairy farmer in Croom in County Limerick. And thank you both very much for joining me this morning. Brian, can you tell me first a little bit about your own farm? How many cattle do you have and where are you farming?
I'm farming in North Kildare, so in Carvery in North Kildare. We were beef and tillage up to 2013, and then we decided to enter dairying in 2013, the pre-removal of quotas. And that was a decision, it was a decision driven by economic need. We had a young family, we were starting a family at the time, and we were looking to the future of the farm and about the economic sustainability of it. So that's what drove that decision. We're spring milk, so we supply the creamery market, which is in food ingredients, and those pieces of Tillakeland dairies.
All right. So what do you make then of the programme for government, and particularly this commitment to reduce our carbon emissions by 7% annually? How will that affect the agricultural sector?
Well, looking through the programme for government, and I've read it a couple of times now, and I suppose there's a lot in it, but I would say there's not a huge amount of detail. There's a lot of talk about supporting the sector, but no indication of how the sector will be supported or what sort of money will be available to support the sector. And like, we welcome all support for the sector through, listen, what is a challenge for all sectors of the economy? Agriculture is not on its own in having to play its role in reducing emissions to, by 7% or the proposed emissions. But one of the thing I'd say is the farmers, I think, have proven and continue to prove that they're engaged with this and that they're ready and willing to play the role and to lead on the climate challenge.
Okay,
and
but just
I suppose
in terms
it's a matter
of
support.
Okay, in terms of reducing emissions specifically and the way in which farmers can help to do that, a lot of talk, for example, about re-wetting bogs, about designating special areas of conservation on your land, about planting trees. Are those the sort of things that you would see as practical to do in your farm?
Well, just, I suppose, in terms of planting trees, I say, like, I suppose what we need to see first is that farmers need to get a bit of credit for the trees and hedgerows and the biodiversity that already exists on their farm, rather than coming with a new suite of measures straight away. In terms of, there needs to be recognition for what farmers are doing at the minute and get a measurement on that and get a baseline then on what we're sequestering and what we're emitting, so we get to a situation where we're measuring net carbon emissions and not just overall entire carbon emissions. In terms of re-wetting bogs and SACs, like, I'm living in a part of the country where we're just beside Bordnamona, and Bordnamona now we're talking about they've ceased production and they're going to start re-wetting. And the problem I see with that is that you would have farmers that have reclaimed bog or have drained land that now are going to be asked to re-wet or might be asked to re-wet, but there's no talk of compensation. So that asset, that field, that piece of land, which was previously able to graze cattle or graze dairy stock or sheep or whatever it might be, if that's re-wet, that ceases to be an economic asset for the farmer.
Okay, so that would be a big problem for you.
Huge problem. And we've seen it already with SACs, where farmers that have land designated, and it limits what they can do on their land, but there has been no compensation. There has to be a serious amount of compensation for that, because that land is out of production then.
All right. I might come to yourself, John. You're an organic farmer in Croom. Can you tell us just briefly about your own farming background? How long have you been farming organically?
Good morning, Sarah. Good morning, Brian. I've been farming organically for 20 years. I was attracted to it by its non-use of fertilisers, chemicals, pesticides, etc., and also by the increasing demand amongst consumers for organic food. It started 20 years ago in Ireland. Organic was very small, but there was still an awareness and demand for organic food, and it has grown and grown and grown since. When I joined, there was about 500 organic farms. There's just shy of 2,000 and growing now at the moment.
Okay, so would you agree with Brian then that some of the potential avenues for farmers to contribute towards the 7% reduction in carbon emissions over the next decade, the annual 7% emissions target, some of those things like planting trees or hedge grows or re-wetting bogs or designating special areas of conservation, would they be an issue for you?
I would welcome them, but like Brian, I'd like to see the detail. As an organic farmer, organic is, would be seen as a solution multiplier in that it reduces inputs, no chemicals, and that it's and it gives a much, gives a better income to farmers on organic farms.
What about the carbon tax then, Brian? How would that work for you? We're talking about a quadrupling of carbon tax to €100 a tonne over the next decade. And obviously, I know you'd have plenty of diesel-powered machinery on your farm, or I'm assuming you would. So how would that work for you?
Yes, so not only I would have diesel-powered equipment, so the contractors that do work for me, the silage and all those fertiliser spreading and all that, they would be using diesel as well. I suppose the carbon tax is introduced in order to encourage change of habit. And so where infrastructure is there, or where public transport is there, or EVs are available in terms of charging points and electric cars are available, it will encourage people to make that change from diesel or petrol into that. But for farmers and those living in rural Ireland, we don't have an electric tractor. So we have no alternative. And the carbon tax for us, it's not going to encourage us change. It'll just be an added cost onto our business. And if you're in the transport sector and you have to pay a carbon tax, you will have the ability to spread that cost across the supply chain. But where the farmer finds ourselves in the supply chain, we're at the very bottom, we're the price taker. We have no choice only to absorb that cost. So that's an income penalty for farmers. And whether you're, doesn't matter what sector you're in or what production system you're in, a carbon tax it's almost a tax in rural Ireland. It is a tax in rural Ireland.
John, would you agree with that?
Well, it depends on what where the carbon tax is redistributed. If it's put towards more efficient use on farms, if it's put towards more technologically efficient tractors, a reduced diesel consumption, it's to be welcomed. But like Brian, I would be apprehensive about the farmer not being able to absorb these extra costs.
Is there any argument, Brian, for farmers to be exempt from the carbon tax until there are things like, as you say, electric tractors available or electric jeeps?
Yeah, no, I think there's a very strong argument for that. And that's something I have been looking for a long time, and farmers have been saying as well, that until there's an alternative, there should be no carbon tax on agricultural, there should only be a carbon tax applied in an area or to a sector that to have an alternative. We don't have an alternative.
Mm. At the same time, though, the programme for government does have plenty in it that farmers, I would have thought, would be pretty happy with. I mean, there's a proposed new agri-environment scheme, there's a food commissioner. Would that not please you, or offset some of the potential penalties for farmers?
Yeah, so on the agri-environment scheme, we would welcome that. And I think that's a positive step. And the other thing, and the fact that it's going to come from Exchequer as well, is another positive onto it. Again, we'll wait and we'll see the detail. But as well, farmers are constantly looking to do more for the environment.
Are you, Brian?
Absolutely. In sectors where income is at a very vulnerable level, particularly in the beef and sheep and sometimes in the tillage sector, where it's about survival 7 days of the week, those farmers need support. And so I would have no problem, and I think they're well justified in seeking support if that means that they're going to take costs into their business, or they're going to provide an environmental good that won't only benefit them and the community in which they live in. Mm. All of society will benefit. When a farmer delivers on the environment or on biodiversity or water quality, everyone benefits. Farmers will deliver the change, but farmers need support.
Because I think that there's a sense from some people, at least, that farmers are resisting all these changes at any cost, and that they're not looking into diversifying where they can diversify.
Well, in terms of diversification, and organics is a diversification option, there's absolutely no doubt about it. But that's not going to be an option for everyone.
So why not?
With limited markets, so if you look at Ireland in terms of what it can grow and how it can grow. There has been talk of every farmer should diversify into fruit and veg. But in the Midlands where I live, where we're heavy black soil, we can grow grass, and we can grow a lot of grass, and we're ideally placed for livestock production. We cannot grow vegetables because we won't get them out of the field because the land won't hold it. So we're limited in what we can diversify into. Now, I would welcome, I see the renewable sector as a really, really high, like a massive potential in the renewable sector that every farmer in Ireland could possibly get involved in. But we need to see more support in that sector as well.
On the idea of organic farming, John, the Programme for Government commits to setting an ambitious target for organic farming on the back of the EU setting a target of 25% of land being farmed organically by 2030. Do you think, given your experience, that that's a practical or achievable target of 25% being farmed organically?
Well, it's across Europe and it's aspirational. It probably will be achieved in Europe, in mainland Europe, maybe not Ireland, but it would still be have an increase in the area. What I like about it is it's not only increasing the land area, but increasing marketing, increasing knowledge to consumers of organic. So it's twin-pronged, which is to be welcome.
And what's your experience of organic farming? Is it more or less profitable than traditional farming?
Well, on the export trade, Irish food in Europe has a very good name. So when you have organic food, it's doubly welcomed. So there's great opportunity there for Irish organic to grow. Grass-fed to be promoted, it's Kerrygold and all those brands are premium product in Europe. So to build with organic on top of that, and it is quite successful. Organic exports are quite.
So, would you be encouraging Brian to make the change?
Oh, of course, I would. Yeah. Well, in fairness to Brian, he's a member of the IFA, as am I. And last year, IFA hosted a National Organic Day in Marley Park. So, IFA is a broad church, and it has many members that are organic and.
All right.
To be welcomed.
Brian, I'll just ask you briefly then about another aspect of the deal, which would see an end to badger culling as soon as possible. They say it's consistent with the best scientific and veterinary advice. What's your view on that?
Well, I'm actually living in a part of the country where the vaccination programme is being trialled at the minute, but they could only start the vaccination programme when they had the TB under control. And the TB was brought under control with a focused wildlife programme. Sometimes when we start discussing the badger culling and the wildlife programme, it gets very emotive. And there's this picture painted. It's just it's haphazard. It's badgers are being culled and taken out of a whole area. It's not. Badgers are being surveyed. They're finding out where sick badgers are. They're focusing on areas where there have been TB outbreaks and they're addressing those issues. Mm-hmm. And, you know, things are going to move on and they will move on. And, you know, hopefully we will get to a stage where Ireland is eradicated with TB. And we're just on vaccination programme. But badger culling, which isn't as widespread as some would lead you to believe, but badger culling will still have to play a role going forward.
Okay, John,
now,
very briefly. John.
My hope is that that'll come to
Okay, John,
to
very briefly, if you don't mind, do you agree that we will need badger culling going in the foreseeable future at least?
No, I don't agree. And I welcome the initiative by the department and the bits in. Microchipping badgers and studying them and researching them and in the vaccination programme, it's to be very much improvement in policy.
All right, John Liston from County Limerick and Brian Rush, dairy farmer and deputy president of the IFA. Thank you both very much for joining me.